All women, including preborn baby girls, are created in the image of God. Discover the true war on women. www.godloveswomen.com. That is www.godloveswomen.com.
O Sovereign Lord, you have told us that when Pontius Pilate heard that your son Jesus was hated by the Jews on account of claiming to be the Son of God, that Pilate was afraid. And you have told us, Father, through your word, that when Pilate went to your son Jesus and asked him where he came from, your son did not speak. Like a sheep before his shearers, he was silent and opened not his mouth. And then when Pontius Pilate threatened him and said, "Do you not know the authority that I have? I have authority either to release you or authority to crucify you." Your blessed Son, Father, said, "You have no authority other than what has been given to you from above." Oh, Father, please give us eyes to see these things, to see that those in this world, this wicked, rebellious world, where the nations rage against you, that those who claim to have all the authority in this world really have no authority before you, other than the authority that you've granted them for your own providential purposes. But that Christ Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, is the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. And Lord, we beg you, under the gospel of that authority, since we are those who have been washed in his blood, and we come to you, Father, only through that blood, we beg you, O Lord, please let the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ, speak through your humble servants so that Satan could be cast out and people may be saved. We pray, O Lord, only under your authority, under his authority, the authority of your Son. Please, O Lord, use our suffering witness to open blind eyes so that those who are blind may see, and to unstop deaf ears so that those who are currently deaf may hear, and that they would turn from their sins and flee the wrath to come, and you would heal them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the gospel according to Luke chapter 18. The very end of the chapter, verses 35 through 43. This is the word of the Lord. "Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. God comes near to the despairing man, the one who finds himself in seemingly hopeless straits. Whenever that man cries out to him in repentant faith. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, as the Gospel of Mark names him, is, according to the Gospel of Matthew, begging beside his blind companion just outside of Jericho. Both blind men cry to Jesus for a miracle of mercy, but it must be Bartimaeus who excels the other in faith, since the Gospel of Luke, as we read here, mentions Bartimaeus only. He, Bartimaeus, being blind, is yearning not merely to see, but even more, to see God. He is thus a meek man, a man cut to the heart over his own sins and longing to be visited by God. And therefore, the Lord Jesus comes near to him. Luke 18:35, then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. The approach of the Lord Jesus to Jericho and thus his passing by the beggars after visiting Jericho on his way out of Jericho is not merely a messianic visit to Jericho in general. It is also in specific a drawing near of Christ to one who was crying out in desperate need for God to save him. The Lord's visit to Jericho brings him near to blind Bartimaeus by way of God's perfect providence. For since this meek man, Bartimaeus, being heartstruck by his own sinful unworthiness and, apart from the Lord, desperate helplessness, has been pleading with God in prayer for him to come near to him and to save him, since he has been doing that, the Father in heaven directs the path of his only begotten Son in such a way as to cause his Son to come near the blind beggar. O precious brother or sister, do you feel your own desperate state? Are you not, apart from the miraculous hand of the Lord, in a completely helpless condition? Was not Bartimaeus's blind condition incurable by all human measures? In the same way, is not your current state so very desperate as to be hopeless apart from a miraculous visitation from the Lord? So then, when we are awakened by the Holy Spirit to our own helpless predicament, to our dire circumstances in this world of sin and death, our only hopeful recourse is to become beggars before God, just as Bartimaeus was a humble beggar. Beggars who cry out to God day and night to save us. That is, our prayers must become desperate pleas before God, our Savior, for we are utterly without remedy and so utterly without hope unless God comes near to save us. And yet we have this precious promise from Him, namely, that He delights to come near when we humbly cry for Him to do so. Deuteronomy 4:7, for what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon Him? And Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. O beloved Christian, be patient and persevering in calling upon God in prayer. Do not stop praying for God to draw near to you in your desperate state. Though it may seem that there is no hope for rescue and that you never shall escape your dismal state or dire circumstances, keep on calling out to the Lord your God in prayer. Wait upon Him in prayer. Wait for Him to come, for at the proper time, He shall come near to save you from your seemingly hopeless plight. The Lord Jesus comes near to blind Bartimaeus. Yet the Lord Jesus also summons Bartimaeus to come near to Him. So it's not enough for the Lord to come near to us. Instead, we also must be brought near to Him in response to His command. Luke 18:40-41. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to Him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? The Lord comes near to us, but we also must be brought near to Him. Yet how are we brought near to Him? Well, the Scripture says that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to Him. So it is God's command that brings us near to Him. We cannot approach God unless God first summons us. We cannot come near to God unless Christ Jesus, the one mediator between God and man, commands us to be brought near to Him. Yet whom then does God bring near to Himself? Whom does Christ command be brought near to Him? Is it not only those who cry out to God for mercy? Does He not listen to the voice of broken sinners whenever they cry out to God for His covenantal mercy? And are not these His elect, those who have humbled themselves enough not merely to cry out, but even to cry out all the more for the Lord to save them? Bartimaeus not only cries out, he cries out all the more. Luke 18:38-40, and he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before him warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. Here is the faith and humility of Bartimaeus, Namely, that he not only cries out to the son of David, begging him for mercy, but even after he has been warned by the leaders of the crowd to be quiet, he cries out all the more. His initial cries go unheeded. He is even rebuked for crying out to the son of David, since the world thinks that the son of David is far too busy to have time for blind beggars. Yet Bartimaeus shows extraordinary faith and humility by responding to those who sought to silence his prayers by crying out all the more to the son of David. Faith that pleases God, then, is not merely the faith that cries out to God. For during the days of the book of those dark days of the book of Judges, the children of Israel oftentimes cried out to the Lord whenever they were greatly oppressed and mistreated by their enemies. Yet after God heard their cries and delivered them from their oppressions, they would quickly turn away from God again and then do evil in the sight of the Lord. So we then desire not a treacherous faith which only cries out to the Lord with selfish motives and so quickly proves fleeting, but rather we desire the kind of sincere faith with which God is pleased. We desire a true faith, a never fainting faith, which will not stop crying out to God, even crying out all the more, until he brings us near to himself. May our Lord then grant us this kind of faith which cries out to him all the more, until he hears our plea for mercy, even as the Psalms teach us to pray. In the Psalms, the prayers are crying out to God and then crying out all the more. Psalm 18, 4 through 6, the pains of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. And then in the Psalms, crying out to God in the midst of bodily affliction. Psalm 30, verse 2, O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. And also in the Psalms, crying out to the Lord when unceasing troubles come upon us. Psalm 77, 1 through 2, I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. And again, even crying out in the Psalms all the more. Psalm 88, verse 1, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. And then Psalm 88, verse 9, my eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. And then Psalm 88, verse 13, but to you I have cried out, O Lord. And in the morning my prayer comes before you, crying out and then crying out all the more. This is how our Lord Jesus himself prayed to the Father during his time of deepest pain upon the cross. For the Lord Jesus cried out from the cross, even though it seemed at that horrific moment that the Father did not hear him. Psalm 22, verse 2, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. Yet it was the Son's perfect faith in his Father that not only cried out to him on the cross, but when it felt as if his cry was being unheeded, his faith cried out to the Father all the more. And thus the cries of the Son to his Father in heaven were indeed heeded and answered. Psalm 22, 24, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. We then follow blind Bartimaeus in crying out to God all the more. Whenever the world tells us to give up praying, or that we are foolish to keep on praying, we defy the foolishness of the world by crying out, all the more. This is much like the woman of Canaan who cried out to Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And then, after Jesus answered her, not a word, the disciples begged him to send her away, since she kept on crying out to Jesus all the more. Yet Jesus heard her cry and saw her humility, and thus healed her daughter. This is also like the martyrs of the church who are in heaven, who have been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They, the martyrs, it says in the book of Revelation, cry out from under the altar of heaven, asking God to judge and avenge their blood on those who dwell on the earth. And though their cry has not yet been answered, even so they cry out from under the altar all the more. And thus the Lord will answer their cry, and that very speedily. We are much like blind beggars, and so we are to cry out to God for his mercy. We are to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us. And when our cries seem to go unheard by God, we are to follow Bartimaeus' great example of crying out all the more, saying, son of David, have mercy on us. For this alone is the kind of faith that pleases God. E. M. Bounds, the 19th century pastor who led America in prayer through his mighty books and other writings that he penned on prayer, says that all powerful praying must be persevering praying. It must not only call out to God from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith, but when it goes unanswered, it must continue to call out to God all the more. So without perseverance in fervency, and fervency in perseverance, prayer remains stunted and weak. As Ian Bounds says, quote, I have no doubt that much of our praying fails for lack of persistence. So many of our prayers are said without the fire and strength of perseverance. End quote. Do we therefore, O dear church, know not only how to cry out to God in prayer, but also how to cry out to him all the more? Shall we faint in prayer? Shall we, who have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, be deceived by Satan into thinking that God's delay in answering our cries for his mercy means that our cries are actually going unheard? Are we sons, such that God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father? And shall such cries from such sons of adoption fail to reach the Father's ear? Oh, dear church, keep on crying out. Cry out all the more. When your cries for God's mercy, even his mercy that comes only through the Son of David, seem to go unheard or unanswered, cry out by faith all the more. For though we may never attain in prayer to the mightiness of Hugh Latimer, that blessed English martyr who used to rise every morning, summer or winter, at 2 o'clock in the night in order to cry out all the more in prayer, nor attain to the greatness of John Wesley in prayer, who was up every morning of every day of every year at 4 o'clock in the morning, crying out in prayer all the more for God's mercy. We may still attain to at least a measure of faith that pleases God in prayer. But the only way to attain such a faith is to awaken our hearts to the urgency of crying out to our Lord all the more in our pleas for Him for His covenantal mercy. That is, no matter how much the world may scoff at us or scorn us for it, and no matter how great the pain may be of the threatening chidings of proud, hypocritical professors of the faith who tell us to leave off our cries to God, since we in their eyes are completely insignificant to God and even a burdensome distraction to God, we shall continue to cry out to God our Savior all the more until He gives the command and brings us near to Him and has mercy on us. Yet what is it for which we cry out? For what great mercy shall we call out to God all the more? What is it that we should call out all the more for? Blind Bartimaeus is crying out for the Lord Jesus to heal his blindness and restore his sight. Luke 18:38-42, and he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. This is the mercy from God for which we cry out all the more. This is the very gift of God for which we groan and cry out, namely, that we may receive our sight. For blind Bartimaeus was indeed blind. He had no optical access to sharp contours of light or resplendent shades of color. He could see neither the sunrise in the morning nor the stars in the night sky. He had no ability to see by way of physical vision the textures of broad river valleys or the glimmering brilliance of snowy mountains. Most painful of all, he could not see with his own eyes the faces of those whom he loved. Yet this is also the spiritual condition of all men who are under the curse of sin. For the Lord God of Israel is the creator of all things, and so it is He who makes both the seeing and the blind. Yet spiritual blindness is a curse with which He strikes men on account of their rebellion against His holy laws and commandments. Deuteronomy 28:28-29. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. And then, as it says in the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 42:18-19, hear you deaf and look you blind that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as he who is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Israel has been blinded by her sins, And again, Isaiah says in Isaiah 59:10, we grope for the wall like the blind. And we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. Does this not describe the state both of the nations today in general and of the apostate churches of the nations in specific? Has not a great spiritual blindness fallen upon our world and especially upon the apostate churches on account of such a historically unprecedented global rebellion against the holy statutes and testimonies of God's law? Zephaniah 1:17, I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. And again, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Therefore, those who, like blind Bartimaeus, are not only crying out to Jesus, the Son of David, for mercy, but are crying out humbly all the more, are those who are crying out for him to heal their spiritual blindness and thus to grant them spiritual sight. For, of course, sin makes men blind to God and to all of the treasures of the kingdom of God. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and thus apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ, all are blind. In their great guilt before God, all unbelievers are blind. All unbelievers are blind. Satan has blinded their eyes to the light of the glory of God that is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. And yet, the hope of the gospel is just this. Namely, that the mercy of the Son of David is powerful enough, divinely powerful enough, to open the eyes of the blind. Will blinded sinners repent of their sins and yet God prove unable to heal their blindness? Well, may such lowly thoughts of God be banished from our hearts forever. For the Lord is he who opens the eyes of the blind. And by his redemptive grace, the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. When God's servant, the Lord Jesus, comes, he comes to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, and those who sit in darkness from the prison house. As it is written in Isaiah 35, verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Dear brethren in the Lord, since the beginning of the world, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. Yet in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, we read of Jesus doing just that. Therefore, blessed were the eyes of the apostles, those holy eyewitnesses to Christ, for what they saw. Since many prophets and righteous men in the Old Testament had desired to see what the apostles saw and yet had not seen it. That is, in seeing the Word in the flesh, the Word that set up his tabernacle amongst them, the apostles saw God. And yet, dear brethren, though we ourselves do see these things in part, we still have a partial blindness to them. Sin still lurks in the eyes of our hearts, and the good that we desire to do, that is the very thing that we do not do. And therefore, we cry out to God all the more to heal the spiritual blindness that remains in our hearts. That is, we cry out for the mercy of seeing God's word more clearly We cry out for that. We also cry out for the spiritual sight, the purer spiritual sight, to see God Himself more clearly. Not wanting to be blinded by the fear of man a single day longer, we cry out for the spiritual eyesight of Moses, who forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and endured by, as it says in Hebrews 11:27, seeing him who is invisible. Likewise, we cry out for the keen spiritual vision of Paul, who suffered under so many sorrows and wounds and false accusations and bitter hardships, and yet did so all the while looking not at the things which are seen, but rather looking at the things which are unseen, actually seeing the things which are unseen, since, as he has taught us in 2 Corinthians 4:18, the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal. Blind Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus all the more, begging him that he may receive his sight. The Lord Jesus, seeing his great faith, grants him his sight. Yet even more, this miracle demonstrates Bartimaeus' own salvation by faith in Christ. For upon granting Bartimaeus his sight, the Lord simultaneously pronounces his salvation, and that on account of his faith in the Son of David. So Luke 18, 40-42, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." And here we note that the typical translation, for example, in the New King James, "Your faith has made you well," is a far inferior translation to William Tyndale's wise translation of the end of the verse, which eventually was carried into the King James Version, and you read it there as, "Your faith has saved you." I think that is by far the best translation. Your faith has saved you. How is a man saved? He is saved not by works of the law, for by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in God's sight, since by the law is the knowledge of sin. Instead, a man is saved only by the imputed righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For we are justified by faith alone, apart from works. This is the very righteousness of God that is gifted to all and bestowed upon all who believe. Bartimaeus then is saved not by works, but by faith in the Son of God. Again, 42, Luke 18:42. Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." And yet faith must have its proper object, or else there'll be no saving faith at all. The right question of saving faith then is not, the right question is not saved by what, but rather saved by whom. For blind Bartimaeus put his faith in Jesus, in the Son of David, and thus saw by faith that Jesus was the promised Christ of God. For the Son of David was to be born in Bethlehem. He calls Jesus the Son of David. The Son of David, it was prophesied, would be born in Bethlehem, and yet he was also prophesied to have everlasting origins, even as the only begotten Son of God. Micah 5, verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah," this is the birthplace of the coming Son of David. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler," the Messiah, "in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting." Again, we hear the divine nature of the Son of David in that glorious Psalm of David, which is the 110th Psalm. Psalm 110, verse 1, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. That is the divinity of the Son of David. Till I make your enemies your footstool. So when blind Bartimaeus calls Jesus Lord, he's not simply calling him teacher or master. Rather, he is calling Jesus the Lord of Israel, the very God of Israel. Luke 18:40-41, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." So when Jesus heals Bartimaeus, such that Bartimaeus is now able to see, what is it that Bartimaeus does first? Well, the scripture says that he follows Jesus, glorifying God. Now that he can see, Bartimaeus sees God by looking upon the face of Jesus. Therefore, he leads the people in giving praise to God through Jesus Christ. Luke 18:43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So how then may a man see God? Well, he can only see God by looking upon the face of Jesus Christ. For apart from Jesus Christ, all are blinded to God, blinded by sin. Yet by gazing by faith upon Jesus, even the blindest of all sinners can be healed. And so begin to see God and to worship him rightly. However, of course, we do not say that God will heal the blindness of unrepentant sinners. To the contrary, it is only those who loathe their sickness whom the physician will condescend to help. And likewise, it is only those who abhor and abominate their sins, being disgusted by the hideousness of their sins and being utterly broken and ashamed over how their sins have pained and grieved their holy Creator, whom God shall heal. Otherwise, when wicked men seek to justify themselves and so refuse to turn away from evil and to crucify their pride, they remain in their hard-hearted blindness, judging the lawgiver rather than acknowledging the lawgiver's sovereign authority to judge them. They call good evil and evil good, and so upon their death plunge themselves into hell, wherein they will remain everlastingly in miserable, conscious, and fixed blindness. This is what Jesus says, John 9:39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." And Romans 11:10, "Let their eyes be darkened, so that they do not see, and bow down their back always." Yet those who see Christ crucified rightly shall see God in heaven everlastingly. For the elect of God are those who look upon the face of Jesus Christ crucified, even that face which was marred by beatings and blows beyond recognition, and was spit upon and was covered with blood, and the blood that poured down from the crown of thorns. They look upon that crucified Christ and see the Son of God. When Jesus was blinded physically, first by that cruel blindfold of the Roman soldiers, and then by the blood that gushed from his brow, he healed the spiritual blindness of his chosen saint. And therefore, he who has opened our eyes to God in part through his death for us on the cross, and also through the blinding, healing light of his resurrection from the dead, shall open our eyes to God fully in heaven. For there in heaven we shall be pure in heart, and so shall see God. For if we now see in a mirror dimly, then we shall see face to face. And if we now, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, then in heaven we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. For in heaven all the saints of God shall see His face. And thus our blindness shall be healed completely, and our eyes shall be opened fully to see the glory of Him who has loved us and washed us in His blood. And thus we shall glorify the Father, God the Father in heaven, even as we join the angels almost beyond number and saints almost countless in giving praise to Jesus Christ who has healed us. Songs unending, jubilation enduring, worship never fading, world without end. Amen. So as we finish and come to the Lord's table this morning, we come this morning crying out for the Son of God to heal our spiritual blindness, even crying out for Him to heal us all the more. Before we come, here's the doxology. Praise be to God, our Father, who shows mercy to spiritual beggars whenever they cry out to Him for mercy all the more. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose visage we see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And praise be to the Holy Spirit, who heals our spiritual blindness, such that we may gaze upon the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen.